good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach coming to you live from downtown Milwaukee. Day number two of the Republican National Convention. You can see Fiserv Forum over our shoulders here. And Calvin holding things down back at the fort at WAUK. You can always join us. You can call. You can text at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have a very, very busy show today. Dr. Kristen Lierley will be joining us at 10:33. We're going to be talking about vaccinations. The former president has said repeatedly that he will halt all federal funding to public schools if they have vaccine mandates. And so I think it's important that we talk about what that would actually mean on the ground, especially, I don't know, for people who have children or people who have elderly relatives and kind of all of us.
So
Dr. Lierley will be joining us at 10:33 to talk about the importance of vaccinations and what it would mean if we stop getting vaccinated. Law Forward coming up at 11:06. We're going to be talking to Scott Thompson. Thank you. He is the staff attorney for Law Forward. And we talked about this yesterday, Greg. What are voters' rights?
Yes.
We talk so much about there are going to be poll watchers, and poll watchers, like happened in Glendale just a couple of weeks ago, saying there's a scratch on that ballot that's not valid.
Oh, my gosh.
So we're going to talk to Law Forward to find out what our rights are as voters.
We're going to talk about, we're going to talk about your rights at the polls, what you should expect, what you can ask for, and also the important work that lawyers do on Election Day, which is voter protection, which is, you know, both sides have armies of lawyers on call waiting to go on a scene if there's any sort of problem whatsoever. So they'll be answering those questions for us and discussing a very important yet not discussed aspect of the voting process.
So if you have questions for Scott Thompson from Law Forward, you can send those in now. You can send it any emails if you ever want to get in touch with the show to Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S. Send it to Jane Says at civicmedia.us. And a reminder as well, we have all kinds of special coverage each and every night this week, tonight, tomorrow, Thursday night. We will have a roundup from 7 to 8 p.m. Hosted by Terry Bell, Civic Media News Director, who is live at the RNC today. And, of course, Todd Alba doing his show from Wisconsin Media Row, downtown Milwaukee, right outside or near the Panther Arena. So that is all coming up a little bit later on today. I hope you will stick around for that. We're going to start off, though, day number two. I wasn't expecting his vice presidential pick to be announced quite as early as it was.
Yeah.
But we got news yesterday, right before we went off the air, that it was going to happen yesterday, and it did.
And welcome to the grand stage, Senator from Ohio, Mr. J.D. Vance.
J.D. Vance, first term.
First term.
Senator from Ohio, 39 years old, married, father of three.
Author.
Author. Hillbilly LG is what really put him on the map.
He has worked in finance. He is a Yale Law School graduate. And, you know, has a very interesting past with the former president, Mr. Trump. He does.
Yeah, he certainly does. Before we get to some of those previous comments now his now vice presidential pick has made in the past, I just wanted to mention, because I think we skip over this, in most normal circumstances, someone running again for the office of the presidency would have his former vice president by his side. That would be Mike Pence.
Yeah, it's very unusual. I mean, it's not unheard of that there can be a different vice presidential pick. We've had a lot of vice presidents through the history of this country. But in modern times, it's normal that, you know, you run with the person the first term, they're going to run with you in that second term or that second shot. But there's probably a very special reason why Mr. Pence of Indiana is no longer on this ticket.
Well, for one thing, Donald Trump supporters called for people to hang him. That might have been, I don't know, kind of a sticking point.
Check.
Yeah, ouch. And also the fact that Mike Pence refused to overturn the results of a free and fair election.
Yes.
Now, J.D. Vance will do whatever Donald Trump wants.
Exactly. This is a man who is a Trump loyalist. Like people like Tim Scott and others, bows at the altar that is the Trump GOP and Trump himself. And it's, well, the other thing too, and we've been talked about yesterday. We've talked about this morning. Another thing about running for office, especially the presidency, is you want to pick a vice president who will get net gain you some things. So mostly votes. So perfect example. John F. Kennedy was not going to gather the South.
Right.
What did he do? He got Lyndon B. Johnson of Texas to be his vice presidential nominee or running mate. And that helped get more votes from the South from a guy who is seen as a East Coast elite. J.D. Vance does not, on the electoral spectrum of the math, does not get those things from. He is a senator from Ohio, which is a very red state, went for Trump in 2016 and 2020. And it really just is not about looking at the I almost said strategy, the strategy of it, but just about making sure you have someone next to you who will never question you, do everything you ask, and always look at you as you are the next coming of the big thing from above. And that makes sense in the Trump land, but in running for president, it just does not make sense. And there could have been others. There could have been others from other places in the country he could have considered, but it was never going to be anybody but someone who was absolutely going to stand next to him and be like, I got you, boss. I got you. What do you need, boss?
Absolutely. Whatever you want, I will do. Well, I think the one thing that might work in his favor is that a lot of people are not familiar with J.D. Vance.
No.
If you do not swim in the waters that we swim in, and we're very involved in politics and reading lots of things about politics, he might be an unknown for a lot of people who just go, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about him. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he's good. Trump picked him.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all going to be great.
Exactly.
So we're going to do just a little primer on J.D. Vance. Let's get to know the Republican vice presidential pick. Calvin, at one point, J.D. Vance was being interviewed about how it's terrible that our country is being run by people who do not have children. Calvin, let's run that J.D. Vance cat ladies clip, please.
We're effectively run in this country via the Democrats, via our corporate oligarchs, by a bunch of childless cat ladies who are miserable at their own lives and the choices that they've made, and so they want to make the rest of the country miserable too. And it's just a basic fact. You look at Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg, AOC, the entire future of the Democrats is controlled by people without children. And how does it make any sense that we've turned our country over to people who don't really have a direct stake in it?
You're right. Because I don't have a child, I have nothing invested in this country. I have no concerns about anything about this country or the direction this country is taking. And I also don't have a cat. So apparently
I'm doubly
pathetic.
Well, first of all, Pete Buttigieg and his husband do have children. So that's factually inaccurate. I don't know when this interview came from. But also, this idea. And also, the country is also not being run by, like, this is a matter of equality in our state houses and our in the Congress. It's not majority women either. It's men. And we've got plenty of men out there who don't have kids, who aren't married, who, you know, do not fit the framework of Mr. J.D. Vance of Ohio.
Should only parents be allowed to vote?
Well, then, I mean, I can think of two, a congressman and a senator right now who have to leave office immediately. Both men don't have children. Goodbye. Because if you don't live in that framework, then I guess we just have to pack up and leave. I mean, folks, it's been really fun hosting this show for you. Jay and I are going to be replaced by
cats.
Dog-having, children-having men who know America. So good luck, good night.
On the campaign trail in 2021, J.D. Vance defended the lack of exceptions for rape and incest in a Texas abortion ban, saying in an interview, "Two wrongs don't make a right. It's not whether a woman should be forced to bring a child to term." Well, it kind of is. "It's whether a child should be allowed to live, even though the circumstances of that child's birth are somehow inconvenient."
You couldn't have just ended that with horrible? Because it's a horrible situation in which it happened, and we can admit that. The child's not horrible, but it's a terrible situation. Inconvenient.
Yeah, just an inconvenience. Unfortunate circumstances, Greg. These things happen. J.D. Vance has also been recorded in an interview saying essentially that women should not have a choice.
No.
Women should not have a choice.
No. And, I'm sorry that you were sexually assaulted. I'm sorry that it happened. That's really, that sucks for you. But you know what? There's a baby, and the baby's more important than anything because we need workers, and America need baby.
Yeah. He also said that women essentially, things were better back before people could get divorced. Granted, you might have been in a violent marriage, but divorce is far worse for children. So, come on, ladies. I guess we just got to tough it out.
Yeah. And you know what? Honestly, you know, you too, men who are also unhappy, sorry, suck it up. Because if the kids aren't happy, because we all know, all my friends who are children of divorce, they grew up in such
stable,
really stable houses where they could see the terror of their parents' relationship falling apart, really brought them up as really well-adjusted people and not afraid of other and instilling traumas in their future relationships. No. You deal with it. The children are more important. Don't think about them. Think about the marriage.
I have friends who grew up in violent households.
Yeah.
They would have paid money for their parents to divorce.
I mean, I have friends who grew up in, I have friends who grew up with parents who didn't get along and got divorced in their like 20s and like, my friends were in their 20s and 30s when their parents got divorced, and they realized that then, like, oh, my parents never got along. And that sort of, that relationship shows them how to have a relationship. And
exactly.
Then how to have a relationship. I mean, this idea that divorce is such a naughty term, again, I know they've always hated the divorce, but I feel like just in the past year or two, this idea of like, well, divorce is ruining this country. No, sometimes it's actually making it better. Because people can be happy.
Absolutely. And get themselves out of dangerous, unhealthy
yes.
situations.
Correct.
We're going to do a little more. Get to know your vice presidential pick on the other side. We have a very short break coming up. And then also, oopsie, technology can be glitchy. Yesterday at the RNC, there was a little, I don't know, teleprompter issue, I understand.
I just walk away when it happens.
That's as every normal person
yeah,
does.
Exactly.
Stay right here if you want to join us, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mach, coming to you live from downtown Milwaukee, Fiserv Forum in the background. Day number two of the Republican National Convention. Calvin is back at the studio in Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. We are learning about J.D. Vance. 39-year-old senator from Ohio, now Donald Trump's pick for running mate as vice president. And I think a lot of people don't know a lot about J.D. Vance.
Mm-mm.
He is very much now, and President Biden even said the same thing, he is a clone of Donald Trump.
Oh.
So whatever Donald Trump wants, he will do and back and support, up to and including overturning the results of a free and fair election.
Yeah. He definitely is going to probably be seen as a guy who can bring a young voice to this modern Trump movement in the GOP, which is now just the Trump Party. And, you know, he's a very well-spoken man. He's affable. He's charming. He's all the things you want in a politician. And he brings that more affectionate side to what maybe the former president lacks in his presentation. And he just seems like a cool guy. You know, wrote a book about being a hillbilly from Steel Country in Ohio.
He did say, however, that people who don't have children probably shouldn't be voting.
No.
I mean, they don't really have much of a stake in voting. They're childless cat ladies, people. So I'm childless. I'm also catless. So I guess that makes me doubly disqualified.
I mean, it just means you get a couple days off on Tuesday from going to the polls. I mean,
up a sewer.
We'll take care of it. I don't have a cat or kids either, so I guess I'm with you.
Oh, well, then we're both. We shouldn't be voting. Sue on the live stream says, does that include Glenn Grothman?
That's exactly who I was referring to.
Glenn Grothman does not have children, and we're going to do a little update, actually, on Mr. Grothman in hour number two. We did talk about him last week just a little bit.
We have a new name for him. We'll talk about it later, though.
We do have a new name for him that will be coming up around 11:30, if you can stick around for that. But get to know J.D. Vance. Now, of course, he parrots everything that Donald Trump says. That was not always the case.
It was not. No, less than 10 years ago, J.D. Vance had a very different take on Mr. Trump. Mm. Very different. Very just not a fan.
You want to share some of the texts?
Oh, absolutely. So back in 2016, Mr. Vance scrubbed his Twitter account of all of these tweets. But he said things to the extent of, we'll start fun. He's a cynical a-hole.
Okay.
There's a good one. He said, Trump is cultural heroin.
That never seems
like a compliment. I've never been anything. I've never referred. Oh, the sandwich is like heroin.
That can't be good.
Still doesn't sound good.
No.
I can't stomach Trump. And then another one's just very simple. Two words. America's Hitler. These were all
J.D. Vance.
J.D. Vance said these on his on his Twitter account. Those tweets were deleted, but guess what? The internet never forgets.
Yeah, it's kind of there forever.
But there are two that really stick out because they're a little more from the heart and a little more serious, in my opinion. He tweeted out, he said, "Fellow Christians, everyone is watching us when we apologize for this man." And that's like the idea that like Christians, he is so antithetical to what modern evangelical Christians push as far as Trump as a person, but they are saying he's the guy and they are apologizing. And they're like, nope, he's our guy. And now it's the whole, he's a flawed man. He's our flawed leader.
Right.
And it fits within their confines. He also said, Trump makes people I care about afraid, immigrants, Muslims, etc. Because of this, I find him reprehensible. God wants better of us.
He also said that Alex Jones is a more reputable source than Rachel Maddow. Alex Jones, the Sandy Hook false flag guy who is way behind in paying what he owes to these families that he terrified for a decade. Yes, J.D. Vance said that Alex Jones is a more reputable source than... She's a Rhodes Scholar, isn't she?
She is.
Yeah, Rachel Maddow. Yep. Okay, that's good.
I mean, I guess J.D. Vance had a good night's sleep and woke up one day and said, you know what? I was wrong.
Or maybe I really want to move up.
Or maybe he thought, I'll never get elected in Ohio if I keep doing what I'm doing. It'll never work for me. So I'll just make a 180 turn. And there's the best part, Jane. Hook, line, and sinker. Everybody bought it.
Oh, yeah.
The whole group.
I saw something this morning, though, that said Trump doesn't care what you said about him before. What he cares about is how you debase yourself now.
Yeah,
that's what matters.
I mean, that's the thing is, I'd pay money to be a fly on the wall when they told him, "All right, we're going to make you the pick, but this is what you have to do." And no amount of shame will ever bring you back because you will absolutely use the term you just used, debase yourself.
Debase yourself, absolutely.
To get yourself to go forward.
We only have a couple of minutes before we head over to the news. So very briefly, yesterday at the Republican National Convention, House Speaker Mike Johnson was stepping up to the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin, we have a little clip of Mr. Johnson from yesterday. Let's play that, please. Should be Mike Johnson teleprompter. Well, essentially, Mike Johnson stepped up to introduce someone who was going to be the next speaker, some attorney general, and the teleprompter stopped working, and so he essentially just walked away.
That is...
and he said, oh, the teleprompter's gone, and then he went, oh, okay, yeah, do we have it now, Calvin?
Yep.
All right, let's play it.
It is now my honor to introduce the Attorney General. And there goes the teleprompter.
So he just walks away. And the band starts. Do people not know how to download a script anymore? Don't they have a hard copy at the podium?
Also, was it was it a speech or was he just simply, because all he had to do was like, I'm here to introduce the Attorney General.
Oh.
Well, I don't know who that is, so I'm just going to go home now.
Right. Apparently, yeah.
I have, Jane, as you know, and as listeners and watchers of the live stream know, I am a comedian, and I've gone to hundreds, if not thousands, of open mics and shows, and when people like just run out of steam, they're like, good night. Yeah. And they just walk right. That's it. That's it. Just, you know, that's it. That's all you're doing. That, I mean, I kind of love that. I just like, I'm here to introduce it. And the teleprompter's gone. So I have no use anymore.
Well, in honor of that move, that moment yesterday. And because apparently then they went to this house band that played music for 45 minutes while they were trying to get the teleprompter fixed. So we're going to bump with that music that they use.
Oh, yeah.
All of this hour. So yeah, just for a little fun. All right, news is coming up next. When we return, Dr. Kristen Lierley is going to join us. We're going to talk about vaccines and what will happen if we end vaccine mandates in public schools. What will that mean for you? What will that mean for your kids? What will that mean for your grandparents? That is all on the way. I hope you'll stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, live from the RNC across the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach coming to you live from downtown Milwaukee for day two of the Republican National Convention. Dr. Slide Calvin back in Waukesha running the board. You can always join us at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Very excited to have our friend join us. It's been a while. It's been too long. Dr. Kristen Lierley is here. Where are you right now, my friend?
I am in beautiful downtown Eagle River at the Wall Street Park.
It looks lovely.
It is lovely. It is a project of the Eagle River Revitalization Project, where people came together and recognized that they needed to invest in community here. And man, they certainly have. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful area. If y'all haven't been way up north to Eagle River, highly recommended.
All right. Sounds like another road trip. We'll put that on our list of places we must go. We wanted to have you here, Dr. Lierley, because there has been a lot of discussion about vaccines. And Donald Trump, in particular, out on the campaign trail, has been talking about how he will defund public schools if they have vaccine mandates. Calvin, I believe we have a clip. Can we play that clip, please?
And on day one, I will sign a new executive order to cut federal funding for any school pushing critical race theory. And I will not give one penny to any school that has a vaccine mandate or a mask mandate.
Now, first of all, no one is pushing critical race theory. That's just not a thing.
Nope.
It's not.
Nope.
It's become a scary buzzword that gets thrown around. And that's not applicable to anything. However, the defunding public schools who have vaccine mandates would have major ramifications. And Dr. Lierley, I think we need to reinforce how dangerous this could be if this actually went into effect and what this would mean for our communities.
I think we have to recognize the difference between politics and this populist approach that Donald Trump takes and actual leadership and caring about communities. So what Donald Trump is so good at is selling people things. And he is selling this fear, this individual, you don't have to have a vaccine, you don't have to wear a mask, just riding along all of that fear and division that came along with COVID. And as a physician, we have seen the number of people who have chosen to get vaccines drop off. And that means that we've seen more infectious diseases, more communicable diseases as a result. So from a public health perspective, this is really dangerous. If you look back at the history of why we started doing vaccines in the first place, like measles is a great example. In 1963, the measles vaccine was developed and put into effect. Before that, we lost about 5,000 people, mostly young kids, died of measles in this country every year. And many more, I want to say like 40 to 50,000 a year were hospitalized, and many more lived with chronic brain injuries as a result of that. So the vaccine was welcomed because people recognized how dangerous this very infectious disease was. People didn't hesitate. I was talking with my partner's mom the other day, who's in her almost 80s, and she said, I remember lining up in the gym and we would get our vaccines and we were excited because then we knew we were protected. Well, we've gotten to the space where in 2000 in the United States, measles was eliminated from the U.S., but not from the world. So here in the U.S., we got this false sense of security, like we were all going to be okay. And that caused us to start feeling like maybe we didn't need to get vaccinated. Well, that couldn't be further from the truth. We need to continue with these vaccination protocols. We need to make sure that we are making good, informed decisions as individuals, always when it comes to healthcare, but also good, informed decisions when it comes to public health. What Donald Trump is doing here is playing on public fears to sell you something that is not good for you and it's not good for our communities in general. And as a physician, it just is so important to me to make sure that we all understand that and are having these conversations so we know what's at risk.
Absolutely. I think it is just so wildly irresponsible. And the Washington Post, and I want to say we talked about this last week with Dr. Laura Hanks, the Washington Post did a big article talking to people who survived measles, either pre-vaccine or they hadn't been able to get the vaccine yet. And as you said, good heavens, Dr. Lyerly, we're talking about brain swelling. We're talking about vision issues that have plagued these people all of their lives after surviving measles. Because as you said, there are long-term ramifications when you get anything.
And we're talking about little kids here, like kids under five, some of the most vulnerable people in our population. And one in 1,000 kids who get measles, which is extremely easily spread, one in 1,000 kids will die. And up to, three out of 1,000 kids will die. It's higher than that. And another one of 1,000 kids will have chronic brain injury as a result of that. That's not a small number. So this is real stuff. And again, and this is really important, remember how COVID was spread so easily. Measles also is so very easily spread. If you have measles, you are spreading it 4 days before you even start to get symptoms. So it's hard to catch. It's hard to treat. It's very complicated. We have to come together as a community to preserve public health and to protect our individual health as well.
Well, and the two thoughts that popped into my brain is that, you know, growing up, I didn't worry about measles, mumps, rubella, things like that. And now we're seeing these, what almost, I don't want to say old-timey, but like old-timey type of viruses and diseases are coming back because people are so obstinate to getting vaccinations. And, you know, your partner's mother saying, we were excited. The world, the country celebrated when these vaccinations, these people won awards. We put them in parades. And now we have people who have the nerve to say, I don't know about that, Dr. Lyerly. I've done some research. I know a guy. I listened to a guy at my work, and he has some thoughts on it, though.
It's true. I'll tell you what my personal approach is as a physician, because I give a lot of vaccinations to my patients and they generally do really well with them. But it always involves a conversation. They always get a sheet of information about what to expect. And if you do have an adverse reaction, and sometimes you do, sometimes it's just a sore arm or a fever. And for measles, it rarely, young kids can have febrile seizures. These things can happen, but there is a reporting system, the VAERS system. If you have a vaccine and anything bad happens, anything, whether it's related or not, you should report it to the VAERS system so that it can be investigated and determine whether it is related. And there are a couple other professional systems that investigate these vaccine reports to determine how they are related and to make our vaccines even safer. This is a critical piece of our public health infrastructure. And we've got to have these conversations. And like I said earlier, just like with everything we do for our own personal health, we have to make informed, educated decisions. Please do not get your personal medical information from a politician. Please get it from your doctor or an established healthcare resource. Politicians have agendas. Just watching Donald Trump talk about this makes me so frustrated and angry. I wonder how many people have died because they have taken their medical advice from people like Ron Johnson, who are using it not for the betterment of society or building community, but for their own political power.
Dr. Kristen Lierley is our guest, and we're talking about vaccines. Donald Trump has said repeatedly on the campaign trail that if he is reelected, he will withdraw federal money from any public schools that has that have a vaccine mandate, which I think we all agree is a very, very dangerous tack to take. And I think it's interesting that you mentioned VAERS, Dr. Lierley, because, as you said, this is a public reporting site. So if you have an adverse reaction after you get a vaccine, you can put it on VAERS. You can do this with anything, but it's important to remember that just because it's on VAERS does not mean it has been verified. So I think Ron Johnson and others have gone to VAERS and said, well, look, this person said they grew a third eye after they got the vaccine, so this is what happens. No, this is a place where this information is compiled, and then people take another look at it to find out if there's a correlation between the two things, correct?
Thank you for highlighting this, Jane, because that is exactly what some of these anti-vaccine politicians have done. They've taken this VAERS information and they've used it inappropriately. VAERS is meant to be a database of anything that can happen after you get a vaccine. So you get a vaccine and you have a dizzy spell the next day. Could it be related? You don't know. Nobody knows. So you report it. That way they can see how many people have dizzy spells. Is it related to the timing of the vaccine or something else about you? They then can investigate that more thoroughly. So just because it was reported to VAERS does not mean that it was related to the vaccine, but that is all part of our obligation as a community to each other to make sure that these vaccines are as safe as possible. And with a vaccine for something like measles, it's been around since 1963. That's a long time. We know it's safe. We've got tons of evidence that shows that it is safe, and it's very, very important. So we all need to continue working together to make our public health and our health for all of us as individuals that much better and stronger.
The rate at which measles could spread through, say, a school of 400, that could happen in just a couple of weeks, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Greg sent me the data. Greg, do you happen to have that handy? I didn't pull that up.
This is data that Jess, one of our producers, found. It is mind-blowing.
Yeah, thanks to Jess for this.
The rapidity that this spreads.
And it hangs out in the air for like 2 hours. So you sneeze, you have measles, you don't even know it. You sneeze, and that virus hangs out in the air for a couple hours, which makes it, you know, entirely possible that you can be exposed to it after the person has left the room. So this is incredibly contagious.
So thank you to Jess Plotkin-Sell, who is one of our producers here at Civic Media, studying also to become a doctor. sent me this saying that one person infects 12 others, which means 12 others turns into 1 in 144 into 1,728 in under a month.
In under a month.
So that means in less than a month, an entire elementary school can be completely infected when they're not requiring vaccines. And the thing is, people will say, well, you don't like it, don't send your kid to that school. Send him to a private school. Do this. But that's not an option for some people. And the option of keeping your child safe from these vaccination or from these deadly diseases is also not something that they should have to consider when, no, it should just be a part of the deal.
Well, and it also doesn't necessarily stay contained within a particular school building. You go on the bus, you go to the grocery store, you go to the pool. I mean, this goes out into the rest of the community. It's not a contained thing, right, Dr. Lyerly?
It's not. And we saw this in the Somali population in Minneapolis a couple of years ago. Many of them were unvaccinated. And all of a sudden, there was a giant outbreak before anybody even knew what was happening because it spreads so fast and so efficiently. So if you are sending your kid to a private school where there are no vaccine mandates and many of those kids are unvaccinated, they're much more likely to get sick because they're vulnerable. Those kids, especially kids under 5, are the most vulnerable population.
If you're just joining us, Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here. She is going to stay with us for another segment, Get Vaccinated. I got vaccinated when I was a kid for measles. I'm still waiting for her third eye, and I'm still waiting to become magnetized.
You're not going to get magnetized, Jane. We've been over this many times.
I was told I would be magnetized if I got the COVID
vaccine. You're not an X-Men.
You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air and Greg Bach coming to you live from downtown Milwaukee, day 2 of the Republican National Convention. You can see Fiserv Forum over our shoulders here. And of course, we have all kinds of coverage happening all day long. Todd Alba doing his show from Wisconsin's Media Row outside Panther Arena. We have our Civic Media News Director, Terry Bell, is inside reporting. And then every night from 7 to 8 p.m., we have a recap of the day's events across the Civic Media Radio Network. That is between 7 and 8 p.m. Calvin back at the studio in Waukesha. You can always join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here. We're talking about why vaccines are important and what it will mean if we stop vaccinating. It would not be good. Tim from Eau Claire is on the line with a question. Good morning, Tim. What did you want to ask?
Yeah. If a person or a child is vaccinated for measles and other things, what is the danger of them going to school with kids who aren't? Are they less likely to get, you know, measles or whatever?
Okay, thank you,
Tim. That's right, Tim. Yeah, that's right. If you are vaccinated, you are much less likely, but it's not a guarantee. There are some people who, for whatever reason, the vaccination doesn't work. It can wear off over time. And some people are immunocompromised, so they may not be able to develop that immune response that a vaccine would initiate. So in general, it does decrease their risk, but it doesn't completely eliminate it. And that's why it's important for all of us to do our part as much as we can and get vaccinated if we can. Make thoughtful, informative decisions about our health and our community health.
Well, and it's much like the flu, too, Dr. Lyerly. You know, I get a flu shot every year, and I know people still get the flu, but hopefully it is a less severe form of the flu if you have been vaccinated, and I would imagine the same case would be for measles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true, because your body has built up some sort of an immune response. But, you know, then again, it is so individualized, which, again, I've said it probably four times as we've been talking today. It's so important to make your own informed individual decision. And I should mention, too, diseases like measles, we don't have a treatment. There's not an antiviral that you can take like you can for the flu or for COVID. So really, the treatment is prevention. The only treatment that we can offer once you have measles is symptomatic treatment. So that is another reason why it's so important to get vaccinated against measles. It's highly transmissible. You can get it before you even know that you have been exposed to it, and there's no way to treat it. And the repercussions, the effect on your personal health can be extraordinarily terrible, including death and brain infections.
We got a text from Liz listening in Saukville on WAUK. She said, my mom worked for the Ozaukee Public Health Department, and I volunteered when they gave out MMR vaccinations, other vaccinations. We give out stickers to the kids. People were happy to get vaccinated. I don't understand why the leader of the U.S. would say such nonsense. By the way, Eagle River is gorgeous. 28 lakes to navigate.
It is so beautiful up here. You're right, Liz. I couldn't agree more. I know why he's doing it. He's not doing it because he's concerned about our individual and community health and well-being. He's concerned about his political power, and he's playing to people's fears. He's playing into that populist paradigm that works so successfully for him. We have to be smarter than that. No matter how you feel, no matter where you land in this political divide, please just take a moment to think about what's at risk here. Take a moment to think about your family and to get some good, solid information, because truly your life and the lives of the people around you who you care about, especially the most vulnerable people in your lives, it matters. So let's just take care of each other, friends.
Yeah.
In about the 3 minutes that we have left, Dr. Lyerly, I wanted to talk just quickly about how quickly they are backing away from the whole national abortion ban. Calvin, do we have that little clip that I love to play?
Run away!
I never said that. What do you mean? We never talked about that. No. Just ignore.
I don't even know what abortion is.
Yeah,
all right.
Ignore all the stuff we said previously. We didn't mean any of that.
Oh, always a good opportunity to play a Monty Python clip. Yeah, it's not even in their platform for the first time in, I don't know, 50 years. It's been the most effective political wedge issue for them for ages, and now they're just pretending that they just don't know about it. But voters are smarter than that, and people are smarter than that. We know that reproductive rights are something that they are terrible on, that they couldn't find a solution, so now they're just going to pretend that it doesn't exist. Or my other favorite is, we'll give it to the states. Well, I don't know if you've seen what's been happening in the states, but my friend Dr. Chad Taylor down in Arkansas, who's been working incredibly hard to get a referendum on the ballot so that the people can vote on this. This is what Ron Johnson has been calling for in Wisconsin. Well, they got all the signatures they needed. They followed all the protocols. They did all the right things. But then the Secretary of State deceived them and said that they didn't follow the protocols. And so now they're locked in this legal battle of statute issues that isn't exactly real. It's just so wrong. They don't want it to go to the states. They don't want it to go to the people. They want to continue to control our personal decision making, and nobody can make your decisions except for you.
Yeah. When they saw what happened in Kansas, they were like, oh no, this is going to go horribly for us.
Well, and I can absolutely see the same thing happening in Wisconsin.
Oh.
If we ever had the opportunity to try and get it on the ballot and make it a statewide referendum, Wisconsin Republicans would do the exact same thing.
Oh, yeah, they would.
We will find some way to go around the will of the people through some little archaic rule or something.
They put an amendment on the Wisconsin Constitution saying we couldn't do it in the first place. That's how they do it.
We amend the amendments to the amendments.
Yes.
Dr. Kristen Lierley, it is always such a pleasure to have you on. Hopefully you can join us in the next couple of weeks. Thank you so very much. Take care, my friend.
Thank you all for having me. Have a blast at the RNC, and thank you for bringing the voice of the people forward. The work you're doing is so important.
Stay with us. News is coming up next when we return. What are voters' rights when you head to the polls? You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.